Well, let's please open to Acts chapter 18. Acts 18 this morning. Now, some of you, if you remember back 2 weeks ago, you might be thinking, well, didn't we finish chapter 18? Well, yes and no. This passage here, which really is marking the very, very end of Paul's second missionary journey. You might remember verse 23 is the beginning of the third journey. But why are we backtracking? Well, when we were in this passage 2 weeks ago, there was a section here that we came across in reference to God's will, and we really didn't have time to deal with it fully, adequately when we covered the passage, and so I said, well, I'll try to address this in a separate message. So that's our topic today, the topic of God's will and open doors, if you will. These are frequently misunderstood, so we're going to address them today. And just to put up the map here, this journey where Paul began at Antioch, you see circled there, and then they following the red line. I don't know if you can see that very well on the big screen. And then Ephesus is where he was last, getting ready to leave and return, go back to Jerusalem, and then return to Antioch. So let's read these verses, Acts chapter 18, just three verses this morning, starting at verse 19. They came to Ephesus, and he left them there, that is Priscilla and Aquila, he left them there. Now he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay longer, for a longer time, he did not consent, but taking leave of them and saying, I will return to you again if God wills, he set sail from Ephesus. Well, Lord, we pray as we look into this passage and this topic this morning, we pray for your help to understand. Help us to have a biblical understanding of this topic that is very frequently mentioned, referred to, discussed, and yet it seems like there's still a lot of confusion and doubt and uncertainty on this topic. So, Lord, we pray that this message, this study could be an encouragement to ones in making decisions, could be a real help to those who struggle with doubt and wondering about things they've heard or read. And we pray that we could have good biblical clarity on the matter today. We pray this so that we'll make good decisions for your glory. Amen. Well, there was a somewhat overweight businessman who decided he needed to do something about his problem. And so he went on a very serious diet. He took it very seriously, changed what he was eating. He even changed his route to work so that he was no longer driving by his favorite bakery. Well, one day he accidentally, maybe he forgot, but he kind of old habits, he took that old route. And so he showed up to work with a huge, delicious, creamy, you know, thick frosted cake. And right away, his co-workers started giving him a little bit of a hard time and saying, what's the deal? I thought you didn't do that anymore. But he just remained, you know, steadfast and justified and felt justified. And he explained himself, well, I accidentally drove past that bakery again. And as I was coming up to it, I could see all these goodies in the window and this beautiful cake. And I felt it wasn't an accident. So I prayed, Lord, if you want me to have one of those delicious cakes, let there be a parking space right out front the bakery. And wouldn't you know it, there was the eighth time around the block. That's how many people evaluate circumstances in life. They do that. They see something and they try to, you know, just keep on saying, Lord, is that a sign? Lord, is that a sign? Keep on kind of hoping, maybe just kind of guessing, stretching, wondering. There's a lot of confusion on this area. And it doesn't help that there's been a lot of, I would say, inaccurate Bible preaching on the topic of God's will. And sadly, well-meaning believers have been known to give very poor unbiblical advice on this topic. And so we have thousands, if not millions and millions of believers who really don't understand this topic of God's will. And they have a lot of I'm going to say, unbiblical ideas out there. We're going to address, we're not going to be able to answer all the questions on this topic. When I've covered this topic at length before, it takes actually a number of weeks to go through all the different ideas. But there are probably 6 or 8 major errors on this topic. And one of them is the notion of open and closed doors or circumstances. Do we use circumstances to determine God's will? So that's really the main one we're going to answer today. You may leave here thinking, well, I have lots more questions. Well, hold on to them, Lord willing, we will try to cover more sometime down the road. If not this year, then maybe, Lord willing, next year. The title this morning, If God Wills, the words that Paul used right out of the text there. So 3 points this morning. And the first one is, and there's a kind of long, you'll have to excuse me for that, write fast if you're taking notes. Number one is, we should not automatically view an open door as God's will. When I use the phrase open door, and by the way, this very phrase does occur in Scripture, and I'll show you a passage where it occurs. That's why it's come into general usage in our vocabulary. And so when I use that phrase, really, what does an open door mean? It simply means an opportunity. It's a circumstance. So I'm going to use those three things rather interchangeably today. Open door, circumstances, and opportunity. They all are meaning basically the same thing. But once again, these verses, as I put them up on the screen, notice they came to Ephesus and he left them there. Now he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Notice the opportunity, or you could say the open door, presented to Paul when they asked him to stay for a longer time. Now, remember, Paul didn't, he maybe wasn't used to the Jews even doing this, because he had been pushed out of synagogues, expelled from towns, even stoned by the Jews. And here we would look at this and say, oh, finally, a group of Jews who wants me to stay and teach them. Great, an open door. Thank you, God. I'm going to stay here as long as they'll have me. This was an open door for Paul, but he didn't take it. When they asked him to stay for a longer time, he did not consent. I want to give you another similar example, this one from the Old Testament. This is from the life of David. When David is fleeing from Saul, crazy, crazed King Saul, pursuing David relentlessly, he came to the sheepfolds on the way where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of the cave. The men of David said to him, behold, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I'm about to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you. Then David arose and cut off the edge of Saul's robe secretly. What did the men want David to do? They wanted David to get rid of Saul once and for all. They wanted him to cut his head off, not his robe. You see how David had an open door here? David had an opportunity. You could say circumstances lined up perfectly for David to get rid of this man who was trying to kill him. And many of David's men, no doubt, thought, this is a divine opportunity. Many of David's men were thinking, God has delivered him to you. Take him out. It's not how David viewed this opportunity, though. It's not how David viewed this open door. David didn't look at it the same way. You know, we need to be careful how we view open doors. There's an old saying, goes like this, open doors sometimes lead to empty elevator shafts. Just because you have an opportunity doesn't mean that is God's will. Some opportunities may actually be snares to keep you out of God's will. Some people say, well, it must be God's will for me to buy that house. After all, the bank approved our mortgage application. Somebody might say, it must be God's will for me to buy that new fill in the blank, because I've been praying for one of those and it's on sale today. Folks, just remember this. Everything in the store is on sale. Everything is for sale, we should say. Just because it's a little bit cheaper today does not mean it's God's will. How about this one? Well, it must be God's will for me to marry him because after all, he proposed. Ladies, is that the kind of advice you would give your daughter? Would you just take the first or any? Well, you know, no one else has been proposing. I finally got somebody who proposed. Folks, I'm being deadly serious here. Is that how we ought to view it? Well, he proposed, so it must be God's will. In fact, I read, true story, one author tells about his room, people he knew. I don't know if it was his roommate or a friend in college. They treated it that way, where different ones would say that. And one young man walked up to a young lady and says, God told me it's his will for you to marry me. You know, you need to be very careful how we talk and think. Just because that young lady now has an open door of opportunity does not mean that was God's will. Be very careful. Some opportunities, I said, they may be snares that can keep you out of God's will. Once this person gets into debt like that, some opportunities can be very dangerous or foolish. I've heard things like this from people. Well, after this happened, I knew it was God's will to do this. Or I knew it was God's will for me to take this job because it was going to pay exactly what I needed to make my house and car payments and so forth. Is it really? Is that how you know? Let me give you a real-life example of friends of mine. So we had some friends from a previous location we lived. They don't even live in this country. This story, and I forget where they shared this. It seems to me that they were so serious about this that if I remember right, I think they actually shared it during like a testimony time as a praise for an answer to prayer. And it was very well known in the church. And I believe the pastor talked to them about it later. But listen to what happened. So they announced this. They had been praying for another vehicle. They needed to replace one of theirs that was either just dying or already dead. And they were praying that God would provide the funds to get another vehicle. And these were folks who were godly Christian people who they both had gone to Bible college. They were servants. They served the Lord faithfully. They were there every time there was something going on. There was a work day. They were there. Anybody had a need, you could call on them. They were the kinds of servants you wanted more people like that in the church. They were just dedicated, godly people serving the Lord today faithfully. They had been to Bible college. Both of them, I believe, graduated 4 years of Bible college. And I'm just telling you this story to share how common unbiblical thinking is. And so they had been praying for a vehicle, for funds for a vehicle. And here's what they announced. Well, we just want to praise the Lord. We had been praying that God would provide for a vehicle. And then all of a sudden, right after we prayed that, like the next day in the mail, we received a credit card application. And we knew that was God's will for us to get that credit card and go out and buy that vehicle. I share this to say this is how people think all over the world, all throughout churches. Just because that opportunity came along, does that mean it was God's will? Do you see how dangerous that lifestyle that could be if you live that way? Every opportunity like that comes along, you view that as God's will. Let me ask it this way. Is it possible that Satan may be tempting you with things that would distract you or even lead into sin? Is it possible that Satan can tempt you with even good things that are not what God wants you to have right now because it would be a distraction? Tempted to buy something, tempted to go into debt for something, leading to extra work, never free to serve God. It's possible Satan could distract you. Scripture never commands us to view circumstances as vehicles of divine revelation. Let me say it again. Scripture never commands us to view all circumstances as vehicles of divine revelation. In fact, Scripture shows the opposite. Again, I'll put up these verses. When they asked, look at verse 20, when they asked him to stay for a longer time. Isn't that God telling him that? No. Paul did not consent. Let me give you another example. This is even more clear, perhaps. 2 Corinthians, it's Paul again. Now listen to his wording. Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia. This is an amazing example, because here Paul has an open door of ministry even, something good. And he would not stay in Troas to serve the Lord. He left. There was an open door. Well, shouldn't we view open doors as from the Lord? And the answer is, no, not necessarily. It's a circumstance. A door was opened, but this was just a circumstance in life. And we do not take all of them as divine guidance. You know, except in very rare times of receiving special revelation from God, Paul just did the same thing we're supposed to do. Make decisions based on wisdom, on what we think would best please God with our lives. And without times of special revelation, Paul would not presume to know beyond any doubt what he said was definitely the case. Let me give you another example. This is from Philemon, when Paul is writing to Philemon to take back Onesimus, the runaway slave. And Paul says, "For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever." Notice that Paul is not willing to be dogmatic, because he doesn't know. He says, perhaps, maybe, it's possible that's why God brought him back to you now, is you'd have him back forever. Paul did not say, I hear people being a whole lot more definite than I hear Paul being in life. I'll hear people tell me things like, oh, I just know that was God telling me that. And I read Paul and I say, he wasn't even so certain. When circumstances happened, without divine direct revelation from God, Paul would not assert that this is absolutely God's will. He would say, perhaps. Let me put up a quotation from a man by the name of Haddon Robinson from this book, which I've read. It's an excellent book, Decision Making by the Book. And he said, circumstances, whether good or bad, do not determine the will of God. Circumstances must be weighed if we are to make good decisions, but they shouldn't be given more emphasis than they deserve. So certainly we evaluate circumstances. That's part of applying wisdom. But then we make proper decisions. Just recently, somebody was talking to me about an opportunity, a situation that came up that involved their family. And there was the potential. And it was an opportunity for ministry, if you will, to help somebody. But it had the potential of putting people at risk in his family. And so he said, no. It was an opportunity, it was an open door that came along, but he had to evaluate the circumstances and apply wisdom. And I believe this man did exactly that, applied biblical wisdom and turned down the situation because it would not have been wise. So number one is, we shouldn't automatically view an open door as God's will. Well, the opposite of that is also true. We shouldn't automatically view a closed door as against God's will. And I'm going to give you a couple examples of this right out of the Bible. We shouldn't automatically view a closed door as against God's will. Let me have you turn. I didn't put these up on the slide. So if you would please turn to Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. I'll show you a couple different passages in the Gospels. Luke chapter 11. And again, we shouldn't automatically view a closed door as against God's will. And the point here in Luke 11 is that sometimes God expects us to persevere. Sometimes God expects us to persevere. Let's begin reading at verse 7, Luke 11. And from inside he answers and says, "Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And Jesus was teaching perseverance here in prayer, persistence. One author writes, How do you know when an open door is the Lord's door or the devil tempting you? And conversely, he says, how do you know when a closed door is the Lord's answer to your prayer or the Lord testing your steadfastness and resolve? Does it mean that you cannot keep on praying or seeking if it's something good? Doesn't necessarily mean that. Here's another one, is that sometimes God expects us to try a different way. I love this story in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 2. When he had come back, just be observant for the open and closed doors going on here. When he had come back to Capernaum, several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. So we could say, quite literally, this door was blocked. Verse 3, and they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Now you know the rest of the story. The four men carrying their friend looked and they said, sorry buddy, the door is closed. God doesn't want you to be healed. No, please take me. Sorry buddy, it's a closed door. God's will is for you to stay paralyzed. Kids, is that what happened? Okay, not exactly. Verse 4, being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, would you agree that it was God's will for that paralytic to get to Jesus that day? That it was God's will for him to be healed and to have his sins forgiven? Would you agree that that was God's will? Absolutely. But there was a closed door. So they made a new door. Now, that doesn't mean that it's always God's will for you just to plow ahead and just bulldoze your way through to everything you want. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's just to make the point that we shouldn't automatically view a closed door as something that is against God's will. And I'll give you a practical application of this. And this one actually is something that Jen and I went through personally. Some people have trouble conceiving children. And do you want to know what well-meaning believers will tell them? Well, it's just not God's will for you to have children then. Now, it's true that it must not be God's will for us to conceive a child right now. But they'll say, and we would hear people make negative comments, you know, there are people out there that think, well, you should never consider adopting because it's obviously God's will that you don't have children. Well, then I guess it's only the people that can conceive should adopt, so when are you going to apply? I don't know. I mean, who else should adopt them? I don't know. But that's just the way people think without really evaluating it biblically. Yet I know, here's what's also interesting to me, is I know of nobody, I've never met a person in my life who applies that same logic to other areas of health. I'd like to ask somebody next time if someone says that, well, I notice you're wearing glasses. Why do you wear eyeglasses? Well, my eyesight is poor. Well, it's obviously God's will for you to have poor eyesight. Why would you wear glasses? Have you ever been to the dentist? Why? To fill cavities. Well, it's obviously God's will for you to lose those teeth. Just let them fall out, man. Why would you go to the dentist? Have you ever gotten braces? Why? It's obviously God's will for you to have crooked teeth. Just deal with it. You see how we don't apply that same reasoning to any other area of life. But then there are certain areas, like the whole fertility thing, people will say, well, it's obviously God doesn't want you to have any children. We could apply that in many other ways, right? If circumstances determine God's will, then we should not visit doctors or adopt children. We should not wear glasses. We should not try to avoid a wildfire that's coming through our area. Well, you know, God's sending that to us. Just stay put. See how we're just not thinking properly, right? We should not view circumstances alone as this is just divine guidance. In fact, sometimes it simply is God's will for us to suffer. 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Key phrase there, if necessary. Sometimes it is God's will for us to suffer. That happens sometimes. In Acts, I don't have these verses up. Let's turn to Acts chapter 21. I want to show you here a different situation in Paul's life. Sometimes when there was circumstances dictated, hey, there's going to be danger, Paul would flee. Remember in Damascus, Paul had to escape by being let down in a basket because he heard that they're after him. And in other cities, when the pressure was on, he would flee the city. But if you turn to Acts 21, I'm going to show you an example where this time, for some reason, Paul was not going to run away from the danger. Verse 11, chapter 21. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt. This is the prophet Agabus. He took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, this is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we had heard this, we, as well as the local residents, began begging him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, the will of the Lord be done. You know, wouldn't we all think, oh, that was God. That's God warning you. Don't go. That's clearly God is closing that door, Paul. Don't go. Paul says, I'm going. I'm willing. I'm going. And he was making a decision that in that situation, he believed that's what he wanted to do, that to please the Lord, to serve the Lord in that way. We don't know all the details that went into his own personal decision-making process then, but we do know that he was committed to serving the Lord. And when we put God first, praying for wisdom to make decisions that would please God, we can trust that God is going to help us make right decisions. God's going to give us wisdom. And God can sovereignly intervene, redirect, interfere if he needs to. But we don't evaluate, we don't look purely at circumstances and say, that's God's will. We should not automatically view an open door as God's will. We should not automatically view a closed door as going against God's will. Third and finally this morning, we should strive to make wise decisions submitting to God's sovereign will.
I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you.